Good evening. Welcome to Classic Films and Dark Humor. I thought rather than a particular film, we're going to talk about a particular icon. I want to talk about her because I think they leave her out of the celluloid closet because, you know, she is a little bit, it's like she's a little bit country. She's a little bit rock and roll. Joan Crawford was a little bit butch, a little bit everything. She could be sweetness and light, and she could also be Christina. Remember that? Bring me the axe. Yeah. I think everyone's heard of Mommy Dearest, you know? So, we're going to talk about that. Joan Crawford in the early days was a silent actress, so she didn't have much to say. She had to look cute for a little bit. And then, you know, portray this image of vulnerability, strength, you know, and it held up. She was an MGM darling for a little while. And then MGM fired her ass. Yeah, I said ass. And Warner Brothers came a call, and Warner Brothers, the home of her nemesis, Betty Davis. Yeah, they didn't like each other. And Joan Crawford was offered a film called Mildred Pierce, which played on the little bit. Well, she was a little bit butch. She was a little bit country. You know what I mean? She won an Oscar for it. And rather than show up for the Academy Awards, she stayed in bed. In bed because she couldn't bear to face her public, you know? And the news people arrive with the Oscar, and she accepted it in bed, you know? Like, she accepted a lot of parts, you know? But I'm not one to gossip, so you ain't heard that from me. So, was Joan Crawford a lesbian? I don't know. I don't think Katharine Hepburn was, because she just didn't speak, you know, lesbianese to me. But Joan Crawford, definitely, just butch all the way around. If you've ever seen Johnny Guitar, and she just...
Why is this microphone all...
Come on. If you've ever seen Johnny Guitar, and she's talking, you know, and she's... She looks so butch, you know? And it's a moment. I sometimes can't help but, like, chuckle, because I'm like, oh my God, that's Joan Crawford. This thing is kind of on... I want to bring the bass down of this. Like if I was singing rock, the on air, but you're going to get me hard. Yeah. Like Joan Crawford. This is fitting since she was butch. Huh. I mean, you know, she had those shoulders, those eyebrows, those cheekbones, the makeup. I mean, oh my God. You know, I'm trying to think of some of her lines. You know, she always had that dialogue. Forget the Mommy Dearest that we've all seen. With, you know, Faye Dunaway putting the ice all over her face and, you know, the pot of coffee as you watch it just make itself, you know? All right. Joan Crawford. So she would have moments like her friends talking and she's like, you never used to drink before. I never used to drink at all. It's just a little habit I picked up from men. That's one right there. You know, I've never done a thing to hurt any of you. Don't make me do it now. What's wrong? You look a little scared. Don't do that. She's a killer. You're nothing but a railroad tramp. You're nothing. You're not fit to live amongst common people. And that's coming from another butch, Mercedes McCambridge. Okay. And if you've ever seen Giant, Mercedes McCambridge puts B in butch. In butch. And I love how they pretend that she's in love with James Dean's character. I'm thinking, no, I don't think so. It's funny to watch. That's why this is classic films and dark humor. Because this is dark humor. Oh, Joan, oh, Joan, oh, Joan. Where art thou, Joan? You were not in Madonna's Vogue, but they do remember your name for Mommy Dearest. There, you know, you gotta imagine somewhere she really was, you know, she really did say to Christina, you know, Christina looks at her, she's, you know, tossing the flask around and there's nothing in it. There's a liquor store on the right. I should have known you'd know where to find the boys and the booze. Yeah. But see, Joan, Faye Dunaway kind of played a kabuki performance of Joan Crawford, because it's kind of like, it's like watching Malibu Barbie try to be Butch. That's what it is. And supposedly that ruined Faye Dunaway's career. She never held an Oscar again, except in her own home. As for Joan Crawford, in 1962, Joan signed on to do a movie with her nemesis, Bette Davis. Whatever happened to Baby Jane? Yes. It's been reincarnated so many times, sometimes starring J-Lo and Selena. You guess which one is which. One can't sing and the other can. Yep. But it was a vehicle. It was a high performance vehicle. You know, Bette Davis, you know, we got rats in the cellar. And then, you know, Joan Crawford. I was just wondering who all those people were at the back door. Oh, it was nothing. Just that nosy Mrs. Bates going on about your picture last night. Oh, really? Did she like it? You know, Blanche, we got rats in the cellar. You know, if I wasn't in this chair. But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair. You are disgusting. Remember, she'd get all dramatic on Bette Davis. And Bette Davis is like, you know, she says to her, you've been spying on me. Ha! What do you think? You are disgusting. And then she'd slap her, you know. But that pivotal moment on the beach, these two giant actresses. Of course, according to the AFI, Joan Crawford, I think, was at number 10 or 11. And Bette Davis was at number 2. You make up your minds. And they're on the beach, and she's looking at her, and she's talking to her, and she's admitting, you know, Blanche, or Jane, you know, I was the one who had the car accident. I'm the one who made it so that you're crazy. And she's like, she looks at her with that wig on. She's like, you mean all this time we could have been friends? Now, Bette Davis has said that, you know, she was, you know, she was not a young woman anymore. And she knew that. But what bothered her about Joan Crawford was, is that she just did not want to age. So she'd wear these falsies in her blouse. And Bette was like, well, you know, when you lie down on the sand, these do not stay up. They kind of move to the side, and hers stayed up. And I nearly fell and tripped over them. And they had to keep reapplying the makeup. Oh, yes. You know, if I had won that Oscar for Baby Jane, we could have had $1 million more. But no, she did not think about those things. She went to all the East Coast nominees and said, do not vote for Bette Davis. If you do vote, I will show up and pick up your award. And she did.
Yeah, that's what happened. Joan Crawford went to the other nominees and said, you know, hey, don't vote for the bitch. I'll come and get your Oscar. And it went to Anne Bancroft. And who picked up the Oscar? Joan Crawford. I'm here to pick it up for Anne Bancroft. Her name escapes me, but I told her I would get it. Did Anne Bancroft really get that Oscar? Or did Joan take it home? Come, Mr. Oscar. You're going home with me. I only have one. Meanwhile, Bette Davis is like, bitch, I have two. Yeah, we, you know, like to think Feud was okay. You know, you had, I almost said Sean Connery. I'm so tired. Sean Connery as Bette Davis. No, you have Susan Sarandon. Well, the way she's been running her mouth, you know, hey. She better run off another cliff. You have Susan Sarandon as Bette Davis. I mean, just twins. And you have Jessica Lange as Joan Crawford.
It was somewhat viable. I mean, you know, I don't know. I like Jessica, but sometimes it's like, you're the Supreme. You're not Joan Crawford. And Joan Crawford was no Supreme. No, she was Butch. And I love Butch. And then Joan, speaking of growling and foaming at the mouth, did a movie called Straight Jacket, where she's holding this axe. I guess, you know, that's where, you know, she gets that, Tina,
bring me the axe. Like she's in Aliens.
There is rumors that they did pattern the alien in Aliens after Joan Crawford. Betty Davis was just wailing with laughter. But, you know, Joan Crawford isn't all bad. I did enjoy Mildred Pierce. Yeah. And the times that it's been parodied, you know, and she's got that big old fur coat on, or mink, or whatever it is. They all look the same to me, those coats. I wouldn't wear one. And, you know, she's Joan Crawford. You know, Johnny Guitar, I know my grandmother liked that movie. And I laughed at it because it was just, you know, she'd put on a dress and it's like, eh. And then she'd put on those trousers like, shit. She wore those trousers like Katharine Hepburn didn't even know how to wear them. I mean, Joan Crawford, it's almost like, people always say rumors about Katharine Hepburn, but, you know, Joan Crawford. And there are, you know, there is somewhat truth because Marilyn Monroe's analyst has said that Marilyn claimed to have slept with Joan Crawford once, and that Joan loved it, and Joan was shrieking because she just thought it was so fabulous, and Marilyn was like, I gotta go. And they never, you know, did that again. Joan Crawford died in 1977. She died, I think she had heard that her adopted daughter Christina had signed a book deal. And there were tongues wagging about Mommy Dearest coming out. Joan died the same year as Elvis, so, you know, she's all shook up. I have a few of her. I mean, I liked Mildred Pierce, and I like Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. Oh, okay, so this is some tea right here. So in 1964, was it 64, 65? So Betty Davis and Joan Crawford were going to tour star again because Whatever Happened to Baby Jane was so successful. So Robert Aldridge, the director, is like, okay, well, we got another movie for you dames. So it was called Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte. And I guess they got into fights and Joan Crawford kept calling in sick, you know. More like calling in drunk, and she couldn't make the shoots. So finally they fired her and they replaced her with Olivia de Havilland. Now Olivia de Havilland is still alive. Yeah. And supposedly, according to Bruce Stern, Betty Davis called Joan Crawford the C word because she came on set and she didn't realize she'd been fired. And she's like, Libby, what are you doing in my chair? And Betty Davis was like, she's taking over your role, C-word. Yeah, supposedly. So Betty Davis died in 1989. She was 81 years old. She outlived Joan Crawford remarkably. And I'm sure Joan Crawford hates that. So, yeah. What's another... I think, what's that one? Oh, yeah, where the guy, she plays this chick that's going after this guy that plays violin. I forget what it's called. Because she has this great line where she's like, you don't expect me to believe that, do you? I don't care what you believe. Oh, yeah, John Garfield said that to her. I'd like to slap your face. Oh, why don't you try it? And she throws this like cup against the wall. It's like, damn. And she looks like a dude as she's doing it. She doesn't even bat an eyelash. It's like, damn. Hannibal Lecter wasn't even that scary compared to Joan Crawford. what is that movie called? Humoresque. And years later, Madonna herself, maybe Mommy Dearest, did a music video called The Power of Goodbye. And there's a scene where she goes and she walks into the ocean, kind of like Humoresque Joan Crawford. And she disappears. Suggestive. So you couldn't say that they committed suicide. It had to be suggested. Okay. Meanwhile, this violin is playing music. So dramatic, just like Joan Crawford. Yeah. So, in the words of Miss Piggy,
everything about Joan Crawford was big, you know? Her talent, her shoulders.
Oh, Joan Crawford, I'll leave you all with this, has a really great line in The Women. She plays this harpy in The Women. And she's like, and by the way, there's a name for you ladies, but it isn't used out of high society, outside of a kennel. Yeah. And she's showing those teeth, those dagger teeth. You know, yeah. So this has been Classic Films and Dark Humor. I'm just going to do it this way, you know. I'd love to do the impressions. Betty Davis is hard because, you know, Betty Davis was, oh my God. You know, I loved her. And then Katharine Hepburn is kind of easy for me to do. You know, Katharine Hepburn's like,
and father.
Oh God, I had to clear my throat.
And for the record, I don't have Parkinson's. My head just shakes.
Or the Barbara Walters, and you remember that?
Do you want a skirt? I have one. I'll wear it to your funeral. We're living in this age where women try so hard to have a career. Where it is impossible. If I were a man, I wouldn't. She thought she was a man, supposedly. If I were a man, I would not be married to a woman with a career. I'd have an opening night and little Johnny and little Katie have the mumps and the, you know, what do you do with those children? And a career is fascinating. I mean, I put on pants 50 years ago and declared a sort of middle role, you know. Do you have a skirt? I have one.
Yeah, we're not going to redo that. I think she interviewed Joan Crawford. I don't know. Could you imagine that interview today?
Joan Crawford. So butch. Maybe lesbian. Here at the Barbara Walters special. Joan, it is so good to finally talk to you.
Hello, Barbara. How are you, dear?
What is your... You are dead, but what is your thoughts on Mommy Dearest?
The will says everything. And I left her out there for specific reasons.
You were once the grand dame.
Once? Oh, no, honey.
I am always Joan Crawford.
Even in death, I'm still the grand dame.
But Betty Davis outlived you.
Well, yes, unfortunately she did. But those, oh, so sad her ending, so tragic. I was not much of a smoker myself.
Joan, there have always been rumors of you with other women.
Well, we are thespians, aren't we? We're not lesbians, but we're thespians.
Look it up. And Joan, finally, I would like to ask, what would you like on your tombstone?
Well, she did it the hard way. Oh, wait, that's Betty Davis's. Well, I'd like to say that Joan Crawford was here.
Now get on your knees, bitch, and scrub the floor. It's 4 a.m.
Yeah, this has been Classic Films and Dark Humor. So, good night. And tell Arsenio Hall, I got dibs on this show. Good night.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.